Again, bring Christian greetings this morning. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord again today. And it was, it's like Brother Andy mentioned, that rain last night, it was so refreshing. It's so refreshing to walk across the parking lot and not stir up a lot of dust. It's just a real blessing. And appreciate what we've heard already this morning. 300 years before Christ, there was this Greek philosopher, Zeno. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Zeno or Zeno. He made a statement that he never dreamed would become a powerful weapon for parents everywhere. And probably most of you have heard the statement made that the reason why we have two ears and one mouth is that we may listen the more and talk the less. And you know, someone mentioned in our Sunday school this morning about the noise, people having to always have noise. And Zeno, he might have looked at things a little differently if he would have lived today with the noise that is we deal with today. You know, they didn't have probably the technology, the constant. You can have noise wherever you go, music and or radio, television, whatever it is, there's always noise. He didn't ever sit on the street beside a car where the car beside him was rocking. You could feel it in your heart almost. It seems like you feel that beat. You don't know how they can survive that kind of noise. You know, he never heard a jet take off and heard that kind of noise. Or like yesterday, I was with my youngest son going down the road, the little pickup that the air conditioner didn't work, the window open, and a diesel pickup came pulling a trailer with had some kind of motor sports on the trailer, so I figured he had a race car in there. And the truck was definitely, there was nothing to cut any noise on that. It was deafening as he went flying past us. And my youngest one said, that was this much noise. He said it was bad, and it was really bad. And Zeno never spent the night down on a dock, at a park close to a marina where there was happened to be a party on a houseboat that night. And when you're sleeping in a tent, and that is going on till wee hours of the morning, it's terrible. It's really disturbing. You can't get your sleep. There's just constant noise. Well, you know, we probably all find ourselves in times when really the only way we can protect our own sanity is just by making some noise, even if it's a primal scream. But, you know, the greatest tragedy in life isn't that people invade our privacy or that they get on our nerves, or that they are helping to destroy this delicate apparatus that we call our hearing. But the greatest tragedy is that there's so much noise that people can't hear the things that they really need to hear. You know, God is trying to get through them with the voice of wisdom, but all they hear is this confusion, this clutter of communication, foolish voices that lead them further away from the truth. You know, even without our modern electronic noisemakers, some people have to have those to sleep. Even in the Old Testament, the Solomon talked about that. If you want to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. I'd like to read, starting with verse 7. And here he's talking about wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us and let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay in wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. It says, my son, hear. Hear what? My instruction and law. You know, that's not the kind of things that people want to hear today. But it says they shall be an ornament of grace unto the head, you know, comparing wisdom with precious jewelry. These parents here, it talks about the father and the mother. It says they have faithfully taught their children the word of God. They have followed Moses' teaching in Deuteronomy 6:6. You know, their desire is that they have children that live out what they have been taught, that God's truth will become as a lovely ornament to beautify their lives, like a crown on a king or a necklace on a queen. First, in Titus, it says, Titus 2, verse 10, it says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. And Paul is saying, but by living a godly life, they will make the Bible beautiful or attractive. Then the proverb writer goes on to say, be careful who you listen to. Well, the other day I was out on the job doing some finished grading when a couple of distressed electricians stopped me, and they weren't related to me, and they asked me if I would mind giving them a little help. It was a hot day. And they had blockage in the conduit that they were trying to pull their electrical lines through. And they came from both ends, and they knew about exactly where that obstruction was. It was right on the driveway. And I consented, although I knew there was a water line down there. I knew there was a water line in the same ditch. And when I got down about 18 inches, I stopped, and I said, are you sure you want me to go deeper? And they assured me that water line was down 3 feet. No problem. Keep going. And that was the mistake right there. I took one more bite and something kind of held me, and he motioned for me to stop quick. And I eased back out of it. And as I came up, water just came boiling up out of that. And we had a 2-inch water line that was punctured. We had a mess on our hands. You know, what they told me didn't change the truth. That pipe should have been down there 3 feet, but it didn't make any difference. It wasn't down there 3 feet, and they didn't put it there. They didn't know. They were just telling me what they thought they knew. But someone didn't do their job right, and no amount of talking would change the fact that there was a pipe down there, it was less than 20 inches under that driveway. And that could be fixed fairly easily, but several hours were lost because of it. And you know, in life, we can find the advice we want. You know, you're free to take what you want in life, but eventually you will have to pay for it. The price you pay is higher than the value you gain. You end up sacrificing the permanent for the immediate, and that is a bad investment. Lot is a classic example of a man that took what he wanted, but paid dearly for it. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Then in verse 15 he says, my son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. Who do you listen to? There's a quote, it's not original with me, and I don't know where it comes from, but it says, listen to no man who fails to listen to God. Listen to no man who fails to listen to God. I believe it was brought out very clearly in the message last Sunday, the importance of listening to God. It's been said that in any group of 10 people, 9 are sure to believe that they are qualified to give advice to others. And we're living in a day when getting advice and others' opinions on a matter has never been easier. You know, all you have to do is just punch your question into Google and you'll have all kinds of answers there. And there's a lot of opinions there, especially if someone stands out strong on what the Bible stands for. And for this reason, we should select our counselors carefully, and selection inevitably carries with it the idea of rejection. David warns against the counsel of the ungodly. You know, Bible history gives examples of men who made failure of their lives because they took wrong advice. Rehoboam is one example of that. He listened to men that had not listened to God. And the whole future of Israel was adversely affected because of him taking that counsel. And it's especially important that young people learn whose counsel to trust. You know, whether you are aware of it or not, you are accepting the opinions of others. You are adopting them as your own. Even those who boast the loudest of independence have picked that up from somewhere, have picked up somewhere that independence is a virtue. And their individualisticness is the result of influence from somewhere. Even the person that Brother Roger has mentioned a couple times, it says that there is no rules. You know, he has followed somebody's example. Who does wisdom speak to? In verse 22, it says he speaks to the simple, the scorners, and the fool. Now, their problem isn't a low IQ or poor education. Their problem is a lack of spiritual desire to seek and to find God's wisdom. You know, wisdom has spoken to them time and time again, but they have refused to listen. The day will come, it says, when they will call on wisdom, and she will not answer. It says they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. It's a dangerous state to be in. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And I believe that's the desire of everyone here this morning, to listen to wisdom's voice, to make sure that what we are listening to is truth, that it lines up with the word of God. I'd like to just read Psalm chapter 1 here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And I'd just like to close with those, thinking about those verse 2 there. But blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Let's kneel for prayer.